You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. We are deeper into training camp now. We're going to talk about, you know, more Seahawks players, different training camp stuff, you know, what's happening, who's hurt, who's not, who's going to make the roster, everything in between. But before we do that, we'll introduce ourselves. I'm Grant Goldberg. I co-host Locked On Seahawks podcast. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger. We talked about how he's a smoothie aficionado. He's a man of multiple trades. Spike, how are you doing today?
Good. I mean, I was so excited when training camp came back that we'd be podcasting about, like, actual football, but then I remember that training camp is just holding your breath, rooting for players not to get hurt. So I was like, it's been a roller coaster for me this past few days of being a Seahawks fan. And today, I don't want to say that the roller coaster has crashed or derailed or anything, but definitely a little bit of a dip with the most recent bit of injury news.
Yeah, it's like when a roller coaster slows down, like, and like people just get stuck in the middle of the track. I'd say that's where we're at right now.
We've valleyed, I believe the roller coaster term is for that, where you get stuck. And that's the Doug Baldwin knee injury that's going to have him out for a few weeks.
Yeah, which, we're back to the Pete Carroll terms of, you know, he's going to be out a good bit or a few weeks. We're going to give him some time. I saw it was just a sore knee, but you can never be too cautious with this kind of stuff, especially in training camp.
As someone who's recently hurt my knee, and I haven't been running because of it, and therefore have been, like, kind of grumpy. Man, angry Doug Baldwin not moving around at training camp? It's got to be furious. Furious. I mean, look, I don't want to say that my knee injury is just to be closer to Doug Baldwin, but I think I get where he's at as, like, an elite-level athlete right now, and it's got to be hard for him. It's got to be hard for him to not be out there.
Look, as yet another elite level athlete who's had his fair share of knee injuries, you know, I see exactly where both of you are coming from.
Yeah.
But it sucks to see, you know, one of the team's core players hurt early on in training camp. You don't know if it's going to be a nagging thing. So it's definitely something that we got to keep an eye on. The Seahawks are going to keep an eye on. And hopefully he'll be back and running soon. Because, frankly, the team needs some playmakers, and he's, you know, one of the better options that the Seahawks have. So, you know,
it is one. I think the wide receiver unit, we talked about this, the pass catching in general, it's one of our shallowest units, and Doug is the only star in sort of a stars and scrubs situation there, which isn't great. Another shallow unit for the Seahawks this year, defensive end. And we got some more rough injury news there with a little more information on Deion Jordan's injury. Another problematic one where he's got both. He's recovering from knee surgery, but also has some sort of lower leg stress injury. Grant, what are your thoughts on the defensive line situation with Deion Jordan also facing a little bit of time on the shelf?
It sucks because, you know, they invested in him and, you know, he's had these injuries throughout his career. But last year, you know, he flashed as much talent as he's ever flashed in the NFL. And obviously it warranted the Seahawks bringing him back. But these injuries, they've decimated the Seahawks. And it sucks to see it carry over at least into the start of training camp. And especially at defensive line because they really need depth right there. And Deion Jordan's supposed to play a bigger role this year, so it's kind of deflating. Hopefully he, you know, he overcomes it and it becomes less of a worry. But until then, you know, defensive line is going to be a big question mark throughout the whole season.
Yeah, pushing all in on someone as injury prone as Deion Jordan, especially when you're talking about replacing the production of Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, was always going to be a gamble.
Yeah,
and it's not. I mean, we saw the price you have to pay to replace a top level defensive lineman in training camp last year when we dealt a second rounder to get Sheldon Richardson. I don't think the team will make a move like that this year, even if it looks like Jordan's going to start the season off the field. But man, you look at that edge rushing unit. It's not great. I don't love the idea of Barkevius Mingo being forced to play defensive end. He's obviously fine as a third linebacker on downs where we don't have a nickel corner on the field, but he has not shown himself to be an elite defensive end. Frank Clark is currently injured, although I don't think his season is in doubt, really, the way that Jordan's is. And then you're down to Marcus Smith, who looked good at times last year and is a solid rotational option. But if we're starting the season with him on the field in our base packages, it doesn't bode well.
No, and you got a guy like Rasheem Green too, who's, you know, a rookie. He's only 20 years old. He's super raw. He's gonna need that time to develop, and he may be thrown into the fire this season, and he may get more game action than he's prepared for at first or he's ready for. So, you know, defensive end, especially edge rusher, it's a true wild card.
And I feel like, you know, I mean, look, the Seahawks have lost a lot of players this year. A lot of really, really good players, whether it's Sheldon Richardson, Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, potentially Earl Thomas. I feel like, though, the most important player that they lost in a lot of ways is Cliff Avril, because of his ability to bend the edge and create disruptive plays from the outside, keep quarterbacks in the pocket, sort of really limit other teams. I feel like his absence has flown under the radar in a lot of ways. And for me, he's the guy the team is least capable of replacing right now. As much as Frank Clark has improved over the years, I don't think he's Avril level. Plus, Clark was a starter last year. And so that next guy up being a Deion Jordan, who's incredibly injury prone, and then Barkevius Mingo, who's not really a defensive end at this point in his career, and then Marcus Smith, who's not a starting caliber player, that's not great. And when you look at like cornerback, where similar to Frank Clark, Shaquille Griffin steps into Richard Sherman's shoes, but then the next guy's up, you're like, oh, okay, Byron Maxwell, I can see that work. You know, like that right cornerback slot doesn't feel like a disaster the way that second defensive end slot is starting to feel like a disaster. So for me, I mean, and similarly, especially if Earl comes back, replacing Cam with Bradley McDougal and replacing Michael Bennett with all the slew of Minnesota Vikings castoffs that we've got a defensive end and promoting Naz Jones, I'm like, okay, I can see that all working. I don't see a Cliff Avril replacement on this roster, and it makes me very nervous.
Yeah, I think when you bring up potential Cliff Avril replacements, the general idea was Frank Clark, and like you see actually Cliff working with him, and you know you see the production last year, and you think, oh well, you know, he has some potential, he can get even better, and so you know you worry less about that. But now that the season's actually kind of materializing and you're seeing how these injuries are shaking out, you're going to need more than Frank Clark just to replace Cliff Avril, that kind of impactful player. And you know, coming into the season, or coming into the offseason, especially after they lost Michael Bennett, I thought that was going to be the biggest loss on the defensive line, just because he was so versatile and you can put him so many places. And it's not, frankly, it's not a good conversation that we're having that they lost two of their most important players on the defense, so versatile and so vital to the football that they're so used to playing. So even the fact that we're having this conversation, it does not bode well. But you know it
leads... I mean, they're, to be clear, they are currently down six of their defensive starters from last year. Six.
Including
Earl. Avril, Bennett, Richardson, Chancellor, Sherman, and Thomas currently.
All right. Well,
six guys.
Getting Earl back will definitely soften the blow, but yeah, it's so many fundamental pieces to lose in an offseason that, you know, expectations are going to be super low for the defense, which, you know, allows, you know, us to be pleasantly surprised. So, you know, hopefully they pick it up and they surpass expectations, albeit low expectations.
Yeah, and I mean, again, if this were the defensive backfield, like when we look at the defensive backfield, you can dream on this team drafting and developing guys to be high-level producers. Between John Schneider's track record of finding gems late in the draft at defensive backs, and then Pete Carroll's career of turning as a defensive backs coach is really coaching guys up. Similarly, Ken Norton with linebackers, you can dream there. When it comes to this team and defensive line, their best moves have all been acquiring mature free agents at below market contracts. And they didn't really do that here, with the potential exception of Mingo, who I don't buy yet as a disruptor. I mean, I could be wrong. This team could turn Barkevious Mingo into a massive pass rusher. Obviously, when he was coming out of school, that's what people thought he was going to be. But we haven't seen him do that, and he's made a couple stops already, including New England. You'd think that if someone was going to maximize him, that would have happened by now. So, again, I'm just like, in the interior of the defensive line, it's this edge.
Yeah, no, I really like the interior that the Seahawks have. I think Bruce Jones showed a lot last year that he could be a really solid guy. He just has to stay healthy. And then Jerron Reed, you know, he had that run stuffer reputation, then he showed some ability to even rush the passer. So, you know, I'm not as worried. I think those guys, they're impact players right now, and they still have a lot of upside.
Not to beat this dead horse all the way to death, but, like, maybe don't draft a backup running back with your first-round pick. Maybe. I don't know.
It's been so long since we since we talked about that. And, yeah, I've even, in the time between our last conversation and now, I've talked myself into it a little bit. It's still a little bit of a head-scratcher with Chris Carson looking as good as he does physically and word coming out of training camp. But, you know, hopefully that just makes his offense even more versatile. That's what I'm hoping for. And before we lose track and stop talking about the defensive line, I always forget that the Seahawks signed Tom Johnson. And
yeah,
it's the most plain name. And some Reddit users or Vikings fans nicknamed him Sebastian Thunderbucket.
I didn't know that. I like that a lot.
I completely forgot about it, and it completely raises the floor of the Seahawks defense to me, in my mind, because if you got Sebastian Thunderbucket out there, like, who's running on you, or, like, who has time in the pocket to throw on you? Nobody.
Yeah.
All right, but enough with that, and we'll
Thunderbucket. It's good. It's really good.
We will we'll transition away from that, and we'll start talking about some different impact players that have kind of surfaced during training camp and made a name for themselves on the practice field. And so we'll start talking about that after this break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Everyone, it's just so hard to get in the gym nowadays. You know, it seems like it's so crowded whenever you get in there. Everybody's looking at you, it seems. There's a lot of pressure to perform there. And, you know, we're bringing you a great option to work out with within the comfort of your own home. And that's the Nordic Track. It gives you a system of amazing workouts that are convenient to, you know, your life. You can stay at home and do it. They have treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and you can do strength training too. So, you know, it's incredibly versatile. It's the Michael Bennett of, you know, workout systems. You know, you can do, you know, positions 1 through 4 with them. So, you know, you can even join high energy stream workouts at any time of the day without even stepping through your front door. You can stream workouts from across the world. You could work out in Washington with the Seahawks if you wanted to. Now, I don't know for sure, but you can go to Washington through your workout. It'll be a lot of fun. And so you can go anywhere in the world and give you that nice scenery without stepping out of your door. Now, we have a special offer for you. Locked On Seahawks listeners get $75 off your first Nordic Track purchase visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the promo code Locked On. So, you know, take advantage of that. If you need a new workout and you don't want to join a new gym, you know, that's perfect for you. So, again, visit nordictrack.com/lockedon and use the promo code Locked On to get $75 off your order. Welcome back to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant and Spike, and we're going to talk about a few different kind of impact players that have made a name for themselves on the practice field. And I'll start off. We started off the show talking about Doug Baldwin and his knee injury, and you know that opens up some playing time on the practice field and in preseason games for guys to kind of get their shine on and make a name for themselves. So I'm gonna start this conversation by talking about Keenan Reynolds. He was a converted quarterback. He played at Navy. He was with the Ravens. And now he's with the Seahawks, and he's turning heads in training camp. You know, he's gotten some rave reviews. People are saying that he reminds them of Doug Baldwin. And so, you know, we talked about how this team needs depth. They need more playmakers in their pass catchers group. And so, you know, it remains to be seen in-game, but Keenan Reynolds is a guy to watch in my mind.
Yeah, I think with the Doug Baldwin injury, if there is a silver lining there, it's that we're going to get to see a lot of guys get some run in the preseason at wide receiver, and we're going to see who can build some chemistry with Russell Wilson. I mean, remember, Doug Baldwin was an undrafted free agent. This Jermaine Kearse was an undrafted free agent. This team has managed to find real value at the wide receiver slot without drafting in the first round. And, you know, we don't know who that guy is going to be this year, but it's cool to see some of the deeper names make some flash plays.
Yeah, and, you know, it opens the door for Marcus Johnson, who they traded for, Amari yep. Darbo, David Moore. So there's a lot of guys that are fighting for snaps, and there's more to go around. And unfortunately, with Doug Baldwin out, but like you said, you know, it opens the door just to get some more eyes on different players for more depth.
Yeah. And I mean, again, it's first team reps, which is something that these guys otherwise wouldn't get the chance to have. If there is a silver lining with Baldwin and Earl Thomas potentially not being in training camp for a while, it is that these younger guys can maybe learn a lot more about them than we otherwise would have learned. Cause at the same time, though, some of these guys getting first-team reps are pretty questionable. Yeah. Oh, man, I just saw Marcus Smith, tight hamstring. He's out for a bit. David Moore is out for a bit. God.
All right, so those two guys we've talked about on this podcast already have gotten hurt. But, and Reynolds, to add, had a touchdown, a long touchdown from Russell Wilson, I think, over the weekend. So, you know, like you said, getting that chemistry and familiarizing yourself with the quarterback and the system that the Seahawks run, you know, that's going to be valuable if they have to step in during the regular season if they need somebody in a pinch.
Absolutely. My guy is not so much a deep sleeper at this point. I think he's the shallowest sleeper on the team. It's Shaquem Griffin. But I just love that he picked off Russell Wilson because what is the one knock on Shaquem Griffin is that he cannot pick guys off because he literally has one hand. Doesn't matter. Now, mind you, this is also shots fired at Nick Vannett, who shouldn't. The ball goes up to you and you're a big tight end. A linebacker with one hand should not be picking it off.
And you've got to be a linebacker too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is happening? But it's pretty cool to see that the one knock that's like a given with Shaquem Griffin doesn't even matter. If we're talking about, you know, Smith and Jordan being out, Mingo having to move to defensive line, Keem is starting this year. Then Keem is the guy at that third linebacker slot. So, you know, get ready. And I want to see it. I want to see him own that spot on the field. He's more athletic, and we've seen that athleticism is the best thing that we can get from that spot. I mean, that's why they moved Bruce Irvin there, and Bruce Irvin's career really lifted off when he moved from defensive end to that off linebacker spot. Similarly, Keem Griffin is an equally freakish athlete to Bruce Irvin. Yeah. And so putting another freak athlete on the field with this defense that, especially against the Rams last year, looked a beat slow for the first time in maybe half a decade. You know, he doesn't look a beat slow. He's fast. Get him on the field. Keem Griffin, shallow sleeper, love him. Let's do this thing.
Well, like, the thing to me is that, you know, he has all the tools to be a successful player, and like the athletic ability, the smarts. You know, he has a nose for the football, and he just needs the opportunity. Like we said, with Doug Baldwin's injury opening the door for other players, you know, injuries all around the defense and holes all around the defense left by players departing. You know, that opens up a hole for Shaquem Griffin. And you know, I already thought he was going to be an impact. I mean, we both thought he's going to be an impact player, even just on special teams. But the more snaps you can get, the better, because, you know, the defense is going to benefit from having, you know, a guy with his speed and smart and nose for the football on the field. I think that in college, obviously, there's more room for him to kind of throw his weight around and play just fast and aggressive, and it paid off. But, you know, I think with good coaching, and he has Ken Norton there coaching him up, being a linebacker, then I think the sky's the limit for him. If only he had a little more size, but, you know, that's just nitpicking at this point. He's already down a hand, but I like him a lot. Everybody likes him a lot.
And, yeah,
you know, it's going to be the best story when he's successful.
Yeah, and again, he's a long-term KJ Wright replacement and a short-term freak athlete at the linebacker spot in special teams. It's great. I think you had one more sleeper for the defense this year.
No, I think it was
the
offense. The offense, and it's a guy that we talked about throughout the last season, last offseason particularly. It's Tyrone Swoops. Especially with, you know, there's not that primary pass catching tight end. There's the lack of pass catcher, you know, on the line of scrimmage for the Seahawks. The door is wide open for him to contribute on this team. Like Shaquem Griffin, he's a freak athlete, and, you know, you benefit from having guys that, you know, can go up and get the ball, or you know, can break away from linebackers on the field. And, you know, he's been with the team for a year, 2 years now, so, you know, he's acclimated, he knows the system, he knows, you know, the personnel. So I think that, you know, if there's an off season where he can kind of cement himself into the 53-man roster, I think it's this one.
Yeah, I love Tyrone Swoop's potential. I want him to make this team. I really want it. I want it bad. He has that freak athleticism at the tight end spot that we just don't have without a Jimmy Graham on the roster. Nick Vannett hasn't stepped up and grabbed that tight end slot. Ed Dixon's injured. Will Dissly is a blocker who is a bit of a project long term. Swoops himself was a project, but man, I really would love to see him just be great. I've got a defender that I thought we had a guy, but I know who my guy is as a defensive.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I wanted to say quick before we left the conversation, you know, the Seahawks aren't afraid to admit when they're wrong with the pick. Like, we've seen it with Christian Michael, we've seen it even with Malik McDowell recently. Like, if they draft the guy too hard, they're not afraid to cut him and open up a spot. So, you know, Nick Vannett, I don't think his roster spot is safe at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that said, if he were to flash big this season, he could also end up being – it would not shock me if he were a 600-yard receiver this year either. It wouldn't shock me if he didn't make the roster. Like, there's so much variance in this team right now, but I think he – and that tight end slot in particular is very high variance. I mean, again, we think about how much time Nick Vannett spent on the roster. He's 156 career receiving yards in two seasons. That's not great.
He hasn't seen the field much at all because, you know, they've had Jimmy Graham, they've had Luke Wilson, and then both of them are gone this season. And so he's largely unproven. I mean, that's probably why I'm so, you know, open with, you know, the Seahawks, you know, maybe moving on from him, because, you know, we haven't seen it, and we haven't seen much from him, and, you know, they spent, you know, a high draft pick on him. So I think that that's the reason why, you know, I'm saying that he can be off the team because, you know, we haven't seen much from him. But, like, when you look back on it, Luke Wilson took up playing time, Jimmy Graham took up playing time, so, you know, he has to prove himself, and I think it's, you know, in this preseason, in this training camp, that's the time to do it.
Yeah. All right. So, Shay, my last defensive sleeper, a little bit of a deeper sleeper, another rookie drafted this year, Trey Flowers, conversion project from safety to cornerback out of Oklahoma State. Guy we've talked about a little bit on the podcast around the draft is like an interesting player, mostly because any defensive back that is drafted by the Seahawks is inherently interesting because you give a raw defensive back to Pete Carroll and good things happen. Flowers' length is what's popping off the screen for people watching, or popping off the field if they're watching in person at training camp. His ability to break up passes from a trail position means that he can be really physical at the line of scrimmage. And that just means that if he can develop his footwork, get that drop step right, he could end up being a really valuable cornerback for the Seahawks. And if there's a sleeper in that second cornerback race, I don't know if he's going to get there this year. But if Byron Maxwell grabs that slot, you can like slot Trey Flowers into that slot for next year. That's the good version of Trey Flowers' developmental path this year.
Yeah, I think that with Flowers, you're not going to be in that kind of pinch like late last season when the Seahawks were so injury prone and they needed guys to step in. They're not going to be in that kind of bad position if they have Trey Flowers ready to go. And I think that it's really complimentary of Ken Norton Jr. to say that he's a natural in his transition from safety to cornerback, which is great because, you know, you want guys to, you know, pick up on these concepts and practice them right. And for Ken Norton to say that he never makes the same mistake twice and there's no limit to how good he can be, you know, that excites me because, like you said, you hand Pete Carroll a raw cornerback, Pete Carroll gets to mold that guy however he wants. And yeah, you know, that bodes well for the Seahawks because, you know, they're going to have these good habits, going to play physical, and they're going to have – and a guy like Trey Flowers has that closing speed, you know, it seems like he's going to always be in play for a ball. And this is obviously best-case scenario, not right now, but, yeah, you know, for him to kind of be that kind of prototypical Seahawks cornerback, you know, that's going to be really, really important. I think the thing that I've harped on the most this offseason is depth for the team, mm-hmm. And multiple spots on the roster. And so I've always liked the Trey Flowers pick, but just to see such great things being said for him, especially going for a transition from safety to corner, it's really great, and I'm super excited about him.
Yeah, I mean, and I also, you know that Grant is excited about Trey Flowers because he said all those words in a row without saying the words Nico Thorpe. So you know that there's at least a little bit of Grant that genuinely believes in Trey Flowers' upside.
Right, exactly. And I was thinking of Nico Thorpe the whole time. If it was any better, he is in the back of my head. I don't know, but and Nico Thorpe too. You make the case that he's learning, he's spending more time with the team, he's getting actual reps at corner. They're going to be in a better spot if they need a guy to step in. So, you know, there's my little piece on Nico Thorpe if we're gonna harp on that. But I think that does it for our sleepers, or, you know, guys that can contribute to the team, whether it be this year or next year. And so we're going to take a short break and come back to you with the rest of the show. So stay tuned.
Do you like going to games? Sports, yep. Games? Yeah, you do, Grant. Do you like it at home? Say yes, or don't say anything. All right, if you like it, go to Vivid Seats. VividSeats.com is a direct source for tickets to games. With the NFL coming back, you can get 10% off your first purchase at Vivid Seats. And the NFL is expensive. You ever buy tickets to a Seahawks game?
Very expensive.
They're not cheap. Or you can, don't hold back. I was going to say you could hold back and buy a playoff ticket. But don't, because our promo code LOCKEDON at VividSeats.com is only good through the end of August. So buy tickets now. Buy a lot of tickets to maximize that 10% off, okay? Because it is time for the NFL to come back. It is time for you to go to CenturyLink Field if you live in Seattle. Watch the Seahawks in person, thanks to Vivid Seats. It is time for you to use the promo code LOCKEDON if you're a new customer through the end of August. Okay? Regular season tickets are available now. Preseason tickets are available now. The Seahawks kick off at home in September. Buy your tickets in August. Go to VividSeats.com, download the app, promo code LOCKEDON, 10% off your first order. The NFL is back, baby. Use Vivid Seats to get you back in the game. VividSeats.com.
Welcome back to the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and we are going to talk about the safety position. We talked about Earl Thomas and his potentially missing time, and we haven't really talked about a guy that the Seahawks signed this season, Maurice Alexander. He spent some time with the Rams, but he's playing at the starting strong safety position in training camp with Thomas holding out, and Bradley McDougald is at free safety. And this is a guy that Pete Carroll's been super complimentary of throughout his time in training camp. Carroll talked about how he's excited to see what he can do on the team and that he was impressed with what Mo did in years past. He saw him two times a year facing the Rams. And so, you know, depth. That's what you need in the NFL to succeed. Mo Alexander can bring that, but if he's forced to start, you know, he's gonna need to play fast. He's gonna need to play hard and make plays at the line of scrimmage, and you know, hopefully he can do that. But he's made some stops already in training camp, and I think that you know it's vital to this defense success to play that you know aggressive style of football, and especially in run defense.
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting to see the team use Bradley McDougald's sort of stability and versatility to be able to really try out a bunch of guys. You know, obviously I haven't seen too much of Mo Alexander because I've not been in training camp, but the early word on good. It's disappointing to me a little bit that there hasn't been much Delano Hill talk at all. And the Tedrick Thompson talk hasn't been the triple T Tedrick Thompson talk hasn't been, oh man, he's amazing, but it's like, oh, he's pretty good, but he could easily get beaten out by Mo Alexander. That said, McDougald's stability lets us see Mo Alexander. Mo Alexander playing great is still a good thing for this team, and I'd love to see them be able to get away with not having Earl Thomas on the field. Also, that said, I'd love to see Earl Thomas on the field.
Yeah, all this is for nothing if Earl Thomas comes. Oh, no, I wouldn't say it's for nothing because, you know, being able to see these guys can actually play and contribute is important. But Earl Thomas coming back is kind of not a fix-all for the defense, especially the defensive backfield. But I think that it's really good to have, you know, players that can contribute, especially if Earl gets hurt again. And, you know, that's a wild card, especially in the NFL. And we've seen Earl get hurt in these past couple years. So, you know, whether it be Maurice Alexander or it be Tedrick Thompson, Delano Hill, anybody else. I think Mike Tyson's even played a little bit of safety. You know, but, you know, having these guys ready to contribute and playing the same style of football, you know, it's going to be super important. And, you know, I wish that we can see a lot of these guys get first team snaps, but you know there's only so many snaps to go around. So you know they need to make the best of their time practicing with the first team. And so you know I'm hoping that's Tedrick Thompson because you know I've kind of sold myself on him and he's a fun player on the field to watch during training camp. You know, just the way that he acts kind of reminds me of Richard Sherman during practice, just dancing around having fun. And so you know having these guys ready to go, that's the most important thing, whether it be Maurice Alexander or Tedrick Thompson in Earl's absence.
Yeah, I agree.
Whew, okay. Jermaine Ifedi. He played right guard over the weekend, which is a little weird. George Fant, I know, is competing with him at right tackle. But Ifedi, to me, he's one of the guys that has the most to prove this season, especially with a new offensive line coach. I don't think it matters that he was a first-round pick. He hasn't been good in his time with the Seahawks. He showed a little bit, but you know, for the most part, you know, he's a penalty machine, and he gets beat quite often. So you know, he has a lot to prove this season, and you know, whether that be making himself more versatile, he can play more positions, that bodes well for him. But you know, hopefully he'll be able. No, I'm hoping that he'll be able to lock down that right tackle position for good reason, because he has to impress Mike Solari and the staff all over again, because it's a new scheme, new coaches. So for him to lock down that spot, I think it bodes well for him. But I'm really hoping it's just to, as a safety net, having him play multiple positions, which I think it probably is. But with the way he's played over the last couple of years, it's reason to worry.
Yeah, well, I also think you got to get George Fant reps, and you gotta see what you have in Reese Odion. But you got to move guys around and see what you got in a couple different configurations. It is very possible that our best offensive line involves both Dwayne Brown and George Fant playing tackle. And if that's the case, does our best offensive line also include Jermaine Fetti playing guard? I think that's a question that's wide open right now, and one that's best answered as early in training camp as possible.
Yeah, no, you want to give your offensive line that time to assimilate with each other and kind of gel, like we've been saying. And, they have a lot of continuity. They're just adding DJ Fluker into it, who I think is a favorite for the right guard position, him being familiar with Solari and going on under the body transformation that he has. But, you want the best guy in there, so whoever that is, let him play.
Man, yeah, I'm just like looking. Like, I want a unit to be really good. Like, quarterback and linebacker. Quarterback and linebacker are really good. Running back, I think, is going to be good, even if I still hate the penny pick. We'll see. I can't wait to get a better sense of what's going on.
They play next Thursday.
So many question marks. Next Thursday. God, that's so soon.
All right. I think that, it's a reasonable time to wait. We've waited this long. It'll come sooner rather than later, and we'll be able to talk about it, because we'll get a recap up and we'll talk about what we see from the players. But guys to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Like we said, Keenan Reynolds was a guy, and then Tyrone Swoops is a guy to keep an eye on. Trey Flowers. I think Trey Flowers is going to play a lot in the preseason games, just to get him that game time and get him used to playing in that new position. But I think that does it for today's show, right?
Yeah, I think it does.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to our sponsors, NordicTrack and Vivid Seats. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for NordicTrack to get $75 off your order. And use the promo code Locked On for Vivid Seats to get 10% off your order until the end of August. So take advantage of those. Keep listening to the show. We'll bring you more content. We should have some guests on the next episode very soon. So stay tuned. Keep up with all our shows. All of them are on iTunes. I think we're still on Spotify. So take advantage of that wherever you listen to your podcasts on. But for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also setting off.